To my dearest friends, I am honored to welcome you back once more for the second part in our trilogy covering the truly apocalyptic series of wars held across the blasted landscapes of Armageddon. In our last sermon, we covered the first war in which the demon primarch of the World Eaters, Angron, reunited his shattered legion for the first time since the Horus Heresy and set out on a warpath to once again drown out the stars in a rising tide of blood. He and his traitorous armies were eventually to be beaten back by the combined forces of the Steel Legion, Space Wolves, and of the Inquisition, though their victory was marred by the outbreak of a civil war during the so-called Months of Shame. But this is known, and so some of you may be wondering as to why we are returning to Armageddon so soon, as the world was said to have been purified and sanctified from its chaotic taint by the retributive forces of the Inquisition. Whilst this is true, we must remember that the ruinous powers of the warp are not the only horrors which lurk out in the inky darkness of the void. Armageddon, though ravaged, was still a true prize of the cosmos, and as chance would have it, it was a prize which the savage, green-skinned hordes of the orcs would eventually seek to claim. Thus, around 500 years after the invasion of Angron, the hive world of Armageddon would once again be plunged into the flames of war, though this time the encroaching armies would be led by a new warlord, who would use this world to carve out his infamous legacy for all of time. To begin, we will look across the world of Armageddon to see the rebuilt and purified hives covering up the deeply set scars of chaos. But then we will learn of a lowly orc found out upon a distant and wayward planet whose own aspirations would eventually take him into the stars as the new war boss to his own mighty Warg. But we are getting ahead of ourselves, as there is much to discuss on this topic, and so I do believe that it is time for us to begin. From the ashes of war and from the overzealous actions of the Inquisition, this world was left in a truly dire state, and yet its populace could hardly have expected that a new apocalypse was short at hand, coming in the form of the Second War for Armageddon. It was during the year 444 of the 41st millennium when war first came to Armageddon. Angron, Lord of the Red Sands and Primarch of the World Eaters, had wrought a bloody havoc upon this prosperous world of the Imperium. And yet, just as quickly as he arrived, was he banished by the retributive forces of the Space Wolves and of the demon-hunting Grey Knights. In the aftermath of their victory, however, the senior agents of the Inquisition determined that the citizens of Armageddon had stood witness to secrets most forbidden, and so a great purge was enacted, intended as the last available recourse before issuing for an exterminatus. The Imperial populace were to be rounded up and sent into dark camps where their minds would be wiped clean and sanctified. Any who showed sign of having listened in to the dark whispers of chaos would be forcibly removed, either to face a summary execution or to be sent away and experimented upon in the dark fortresses of the Inquisition. The surviving members of the Steel Legion faced a similar fate, with many of their companies and battalions being called off-world, where they would be destroyed in orbit by the Inquisitor's merciless fleets. The Space Wolves had intervened to safeguard some of these vessels, and yet the fleeing guardsmen were all to be hunted down. And so, in a brutally short time span, the collective armies of the Steel Legion were wiped out, and their collective memories and glories from the First War were to be forever lost. Yet, this was not to be the end of Armageddon, nor of its Steel Legion. The world had been spared from the flames of Exterminatus, meaning that the Imperium was intent on rebuilding the great hives and industrial sprawl, for this was a jewel far too valuable to lose. Armageddon was in an incredibly important strategic location for the Imperium, and its prior output had made it one of the most productive of worlds to be found within Segmentum Solar, and the High Lords did not wish to squander the opportunity of reconstructing that which was lost. Prior to exterminating the survivors of the Steel Legion, the Inquisition had utilized the Guardsmen as pawns to aid them in purging the remaining traces of chaos from the various hives and wastelands of the world, meaning that it was now entirely pure for the coming citizens of mankind. Thus, in the following centuries, the Lords of the Imperium ordered for billions of humans to be taken from distant worlds and to undergo a mass indoctrination at the hands of the Inquisition, before being released upon Armageddon as though they were seeds cast into a field. They were to be assisted by the Mechanicus in rebuilding the great hives, until finally, after many long years, the world of Armageddon could once again stand as a pristine example of mankind's defiance against the dark. Almost the entirety of this process had been performed admirably by the many humans and tech priests down upon the surface, and yet the galaxy would never know of their role, as it was the oppressive overlords of the Von Straub dynasty who took all the honor from their labors. This family was to be considered as truly inept at the task of leadership, with their members only squabbling and fighting for the mantle of overlord without ever giving a care to the citizens who lived and died beneath their command. Their family would constantly squabble over the crown of Armageddon, and whenever a new overlord was to be chosen, we can be sure that in the shadows of their ascension, that we will find the corpse of the past ruler assassinated by a distant relative who arrogantly believed that they were the only ones who could bask in the glory of lordship. Their power struggle had persisted for over five centuries, but as we move towards the end of the 41st millennium, we will find that the mantle of command had shifted to a young fool of the Von Straub dynasty, known simply as Hermann. Having assassinated his three brothers and his father before him, he arose as the new overlord of Armageddon, though, like with any from his family, he was widely reviled by the planetary populace. Whilst the Imperial servants slaved away within the fire wastes or within the dank confines of a lightless hive, Hermann von Straub would organize lavish feasts, indulging himself and his trusted confidants with whatever decadent desires they so had. Naturally, the lowly citizens could do little but mutter curses under their breath, and yet these would matter for little, as the young von Straub was now happily entrenched as the overlord to Armageddon, a position which would eventually force him to stand and watch as his world was violently drowned in the rapidly encroaching flames of war. Far from Armageddon, upon a distant world of the Zornian system, we will find a planet ruled entirely by the scattered tribes of the Orcs, and this would be known as Urk. First founded by mankind during the Dark Age of Technology, it had since changed hands several times between the ebbing tides of the Greenskins and of the vengeful forces of humanity. During the 32nd millennium, however, a time where the Imperium was still reeling from the Horus heresy and suffering from the War of the Beast, a tremendous Orc invasion swept across the world, cementing the control over Urk to the Greenskins. The Imperium at this point all but abandoned the world, primarily due to the fact that its strategic importance had long been overshadowed by more developed systems within the sector. For the next 8,000 years, the mighty Orcs, who once conquered and united the planet, devolved into a series of warring tribes, each fighting one another for control over the shattered warbands before eventually being deposed by another ambitious boy. Yet, even when an orc was successful in assembling the tribes, he would never hold any aspirations beyond basking in the glory of his tribal followers, essentially meaning that the world of Urk was frozen in a rather unimpressive state. This, however, all changed with the emergence of an orc known as Ghazghul. He was but a lowly boy, finding himself within a Death Skull warband, ruled over by a warboss named as Dregmek. Being a scavenger at heart, the boss had ordered for his tribe to raid some of the old Imperial facilities still left out in the barren wastes. These had been constructed by Space Marine strike forces, deployed upon Urk to disrupt specific warlords, if the Imperium had determined that their rise to power was becoming rather concerning. But as the Death Skulls cleaved their way into the Imperial structures, an automated defense system was activated, and a single bolter round was fired off, blowing the young Ghazghul's head into a violent burst of blood and gore. None cared to notice that another lowly orc had died from their raid, save for an infamous mad doc, known widely as Grotsnik. He hoisted the corpse up on his shoulder and dashed back to his workshop, hoping to perform a few experimental procedures on the lifeless boy. From his initial diagnosis, Grotsnik determined that Ghazghul had somehow survived the bolter wound, though he was now missing a worrying chunk of brain matter, which had probably leaked out from his shattered skull. This, however, was no problem for the doc. Using some adamantium that he recovered from the Imperial stronghold, he rebuilt the broken boy's skull, truly outdoing himself in the quality of his work. Unfortunately, though, it seemed as though the brains which young Ghaz had lost were quite important, as at this point he did indeed die upon the operating table. The doc, disappointed in the runt for dying, tossed his body out back, leaving him to rot in a crude dumping ground out behind his workshop. Returning to work, Grotsnik was quickly lost in a new project. So much so that he didn't notice nor care that one of his grot orderlies had scampered off. This grot was notorious for sifting through the waste and decomposed detritus in the search for valuable loot or perhaps even some teeth. But on this day, he was not met with forgotten goods, but with life. Stirring from the pile of scrap was Ghazghul, miraculously revived from death, supposedly by the orc gods of Gork and Mork. Seizing the grot, he spewed out his vision of the entire orc species unified under a single mighty warg, which would barrel out through the galaxy, conquering all in sight to eventually blend the so-called Great Green with reality itself. In Orky lore, this is thought of as the spiritual realm, where all orcs go after they eventually die. Gork and Mork rule over this curious plane, and at their whim, they may choose to reincarnate certain orcs to return them to the material realm. Through his blabbering, the Grot managed to understand that Ghazghul believed himself to be the prophet of both Gork and Mork, and that from his warpath, he would merge the two realms, providing the gods with physical forms and seizing all of reality for the orcs. But in any case, rising from the dead, he bequeathed the lowly grot with a new name as Makari and ordered him to now stand as his banner waver for the coming conquest. From here, Ghazghul rapidly rose to prominence upon the world of Urk. He overthrew the old Death Skull warboss, seizing control of his tribe before setting out into the wastes to subdue or crump any other orcs who would dare to stand in his way. He bested the Bad Moon's Admiral Snaz Dukka in a great sea battle by sneakily organizing for it to be fought upon a bone-dry plain. He trounced the snakebite chieftain Grudbolg in a knife fight, though the petulant beast boy protested his victory even after being beheaded by Gaz. Ugrak, mighty boss of the Goths, foolishly challenged Gaz to a head-butting match, with the winner claiming the tribe of the other, a contest which the arrogant boy naturally lost. The boss of the Blood Axes, being a rather pragmatic sort of orc, snuck into Ghazghul's personal quarters one night, but rather than shanking the upstart in the back, he bent his knee and offered up his allegiances, without shedding a single drop of blood. More and more of the bosses fell to the rising prophet, until eventually he had entirely unified the orcs of this world, who were now pledged to serve in his righteous war. Yet, this would have to be launched rather quickly, as their parental star was on the cusp of death, forcing the boys to construct a fleet of crude barges lest they be consumed by the coming supernova. As they departed, Ghazghul led the orcs towards a demon-infested space hulk, which proved itself to be a riotous joy for the boys who had only ever fought with other greenskins. Gaz himself claimed victory over the Neverborn by headbutting a charging bloodthirster back into the roiling madness of the warp before naming this vessel as his world killer. At this point, he ordered for the Grots and Mechs to chart a new course through the warp to a destination that he did not know, yet felt a deep and burning desire to claim. There is an ancient theory as to why Ghazghul chose to invade Armageddon, and a large part of it relates to the planet's long-forgotten history. Before this world orbited around the star of Tisra, within the eponymous Armageddon system, it was known as Ulanor, and it had been the home to some of the fiercest of orcs the galaxy had ever seen. The Emperor of Mankind, aided by several of his sons, and over 100,000 marines, had descended upon this world for the Ulanor Crusade, a conflict which resulted in the ascension of Horus from mere Primarch to War Master of the Imperial Armies. This place, steeped in green skin blood, later gave rise to the infamous Orc Warlord, known simply as the Beast, who, in the 32nd millennium, was almost successful in destroying Holy Terror itself. The Imperials were successful in exterminating the Orcs and ordered for the total destruction of the planet itself. But this final task was never to be achieved. Fabricator General Kubik, Lord of the Mechanicus, still wished to study the relics of this ancient world. And so, under the shroud of secrecy, he produced a heretical tool forged from the technology of the orcs themselves and teleported Ulanor out from orbit to find a new home around Tisra. It was then to be renamed as Armageddon. But a simple name change could not hide the rich history and heritage of the Greenskins, calling out to the orcs of the galaxy for them to redirect their wars and to return home. Thus, there is a belief that Ghazghul may have once been an orc who died upon Ulanor, and that if he had indeed been reincarnated by Gork and Mork, that perhaps he felt an innate pull to bring his mighty war back to the world which once harbored the greatest orc horde that history had ever seen. But regardless, with the turning of the year 941 of the 41st millennium, his space hulk blasted its way out of warp travel, and the second war for Armageddon could finally begin. The Orky Armada, made up of a countless number of scrap-formed ships, left a truly gargantuan trail of ashen exhaust in their wake, a cloud so dense that, To the citizens of Armageddon, made it seem as though the stars themselves had fled out of fear from the encroaching warlord. Moving through the system, great rocks and cruisers crashed into the Imperial defensive stations, exploding out in violent flashes of light, quickly snuffed out by the cold vacuum of the void. But this journey, though devastating, was rather slow. The spacecrafts of the Orcs were never known for their impressive sublight speeds, and so the tacticians upon Armageddon could estimate that it would take around a month until their fleets were close enough to land upon their world. Hermann von Strab, however, was rather nonchalant to the appearance of the hostile armada. He neither sent a request for reinforcements, nor even a report on the Orcs, choosing instead to recline back in his palace, falsely assuming that his planetary defense forces would be adequate in protecting him. Carried upon the great green winds of both Gork and Mork, the fleet crashed into Armageddon with such fury that many of the Imperials feared that the planet itself was sure to break. The hive city known as Ufern, home to over 10 million human souls, which had once stood resolute against the chaotic forces of the First War, was levied into an ashen crater as an entire space hulk slammed downwards, crushing the ancient spires into a twisted mass of burning iron. But from out of the ruin came the Orcs. For the first time since the War of the Beast, the Greenskins were able to walk upon the surface of their world, and they were not intent on letting this opportunity go to waste. All across the world, similar crash landings were taking place, with hordes of Orcs gushing out from the heaps of scrap to storm out across a blasted landscape newly pocked by the continuous bombardments of rocks and other repurposed space debris. Though Ghazghul was an Orc, and thus seen of as an unintelligent brute by all Imperial standards, he was actually a rather shrewd tactician, and in order to efficiently execute his plan, he had disseminated specific instructions to each of his subservient war bosses, who would lead the boys out on their conquest of this doomed world. The larger warband was to be split into five tribes, with two of them being instructed to sweep out across the western continent of Armageddon Prime to capture the great hive cities of Volcanus, Tempestora, and Deathmire. Wasting no time at all, the Orcs brutally decimated the pitiful planetary defense forces, who were painfully ill-equipped to fend off an invasion of this scale. Though von Strab was still ignorant to what seemed to be an inevitable defeat for the Imperials, he was thankfully not to be the only influential figure upon this world. Commissar Sebastian Yarrick, an elderly man who was set to retire from his service until the Orcs invaded, recognized that without proper command and without appropriate reinforcements, that Armageddon would surely fall into the gnarled hands of the Greenskins. Thus, he ignored the instruction of the portly overlord and sent out an astropathic call for aid in the hopes that any nearby Imperial forces would be able to intervene in time to save the damned world. Von Strab, insulted and enraged, banished Commissar Yarrick from his post, ordering him to take up a new station within the eastern continent of Armageddon Secondus, amidst the smaller city of Hades Hive. Von Strab, in his state of hubris, still believed that his PDF forces were adequate, with all available troops being stationed around the remaining Hive cities in great defensive blockades. Unfortunately, though, the conscripts had never faced off against a horde of Orcs who were this brutally cunning. In but a short few days, all of Armageddon Prime had fallen to the Greenskins, with each and every human of the Hive cities being either slaughtered or enslaved under the truly relentless approach of Ghazghul's unstoppable armies. Overlord von Straub, however, was not amongst the dead. With the plumes of greenskin smoke billowing over the horizon, he chose to flee from his home, setting up a new base of operations within Hive Tartarus, found out in the far reaches of Armageddon Secundus. Still full of arrogance, he believed that the orcs would never dare to cross the equatorial jungle, and that once the Imperials regrouped their forces, that they would be able to sweep back across to reclaim their world and put an end to this invasion. But if only he knew of how wrong he truly was. As Hermann von Straub was arranging for a conciliatory feast to soothe his growing temper, a horrified-looking guardsman burst into his quarters to deliver a message most worrying. Imperial scouts had recorded a constant, yet ever-growing rumbling within the equatorial jungle, relentlessly plowing through the trees, and that the canopies were now occluded by a thick cloud of oily smoke. The Overlord, however, could hardly care, but it was when he sat down to eat that the orcs emerged from the jungle to once again bring war, death, and destruction to the grassy plains of Armageddon Secundus. The remaining orc tribes had amassed within the tangle and were now pouring out en masse as a truly endless horde, interspaced at random with trucks, bikes, and wagons racing through the field directly towards the great hives. To make matters worse, at their rear, the greenskins were reinforced by an ironclad wall of gargants, titanic walkers towering high above the landscape, bristling with a dizzying array of cannons, rockets, and high-caliber weaponry. In response, von Straub ordered for the Station Titans of Legio Metallica, known locally as the Iron Skulls, to simply march out from defensive positions and to directly engage with the amassed horde. Rather sadly, even though they were truly venerable titans which had survived the chaos of the Horus Heresy, they were no match for Ghazghul and his legendary war. One by one, the Gargants brought the Imperial Titans low, until the final remaining pilot, Princeps Curtiz Mannheim, chose to sacrifice himself by detonating his own power reactors in order to take out an enormous swathe of the Orc horde with him. Dismayed, the Imperial defenders repeatedly fell back to establish new defensive lines along the many rivers and hills of the region, yet none of these could be held for seldom a few desperate hours. The orcs were simply relentless in their charge, and so it was a trivial task for them to overrun the Imperials, a feat which quickly led them to the base of Armageddon's command, Hive Infernus. This had long been the seat of power for the overlords of this world. And yet it now seemed as though it was surely destined to fall under the weight of a million green boots. But Hermann von Straub had one final trick to play up his sleeve. Ever since his family first asserted themselves as the lords of Armageddon, they had been stockpiling a secretive storehouse with a ghastly collection of virus bombs, armaments which could be used to enact an exterminatus and wipe all life from the face of this world should its population ever rise up against them. With doom quickly approaching, now seemed to be as good a time as any to unleash his arsenal. And so, with nary a quiver of doubt, he provided the order for every single bomb to be fired out into the wastes, condemning every life form, both human and orc, to death. But ancient weapons, if left to languish in a forgotten bunker, bereft of maintenance, are very unlikely to function as intended. As such, the many salvos which rained out across Armageddon left nary a mark upon the planet's surface. Some simply crashed into the earth, burying themselves beneath tons of dirt and rubble, whereas others simply let out an aggressive hiss before falling out of the skies as a field of loose scrap. Noting his failure, we can presume that at this point, he may have realized that his efforts were futile, and that this world was almost certainly now fated to be claimed by the orcs. But rather than emboldening his forces by standing shoulder to shoulder with his men, defiant in the face of death, the craven bastard chose to flee. Hermann von Straub, overlord of Armageddon, silently slipped into a secretive passageway beneath Hive Tartarus and sealed himself away within the depths of a bunker from where he would live out his days in arrogant peace, never to acknowledge that it was by his inept rule that led Armageddon to its death. Hive Infernus quickly fell with a whimper, yet none other on Armageddon had the luxury of retreating into a fortified bunker, and so instead they held fast and chose to fight. Refugees fleeing from the carnage were forced to march out through the Ash Wastes, an inhospitable hellscape which claimed many of their lives, partly from the sheer harshness of the landscape, but also from the violent attacks of speed freaks constantly preying upon the destitute civilians. Meanwhile, Hive Hellsreach, the city which once witnessed the banishment of Angron, was now facing death once again, this time rendered by the green hands of the orcs. Every non-combatant had been ferried away to safety by the great transportation tankers of the port, leaving only a defensive force who were each ready to die to save their world. Throughout the urban sprawl, hive gangs would burst out of their lairs, ambushing the orcs and pushing them back towards the open firing lines of the Imperial Guardsmen. Rattling snipers dotted throughout the clouds effortlessly picked off the meanest of boys, whilst brutish ogrins below were happily defending claustrophobic streets with their sheer bulk. Yet none of this was enough. The orcs, though surprised by the defiance of the squishy humans, were not perturbed, and so simply redoubled their offensive, committing more and more boys to the fray. As they pushed deeper, the Imperials were forced back to make their final stand amidst the harbors of Hell's Reach. Huge cargo cranes and other industrial equipment were repurposed, being used against the hordes, whilst pilots crashed their own aircraft directly into the approaching Gargants, hoping to slow their inevitable march. Though steadfast to the end, none of this was destined to make a difference. A coven of orc weird boys came together to rend the very skies apart, melting the minds of all who sought to defend the hive, leaving it as a barren husk to now be claimed by the orcs. By this point, a significant portion of Armageddon Secondus had fallen to the greenskins, and yet there was one stronghold still standing, which the orcs had thus far failed to claim. Hive Hades, though battered by the unending hordes, still stood resolute against the green shadow of Ghazghul. This was primarily due to the fact that it was now led by Commissar Sebastian Yarrick, an uncompromising man who had inspired the surviving defenders into performing truly daring feats of bravery, even with death staring them directly in the face. Even when word reached them of the fall of Hellsreach, none were dismayed. Instead, they celebrated the men and women of the hive for raging against the orcs, before quickly returning to their posts as the final defensive line of their world. Ghazghul, however, was less pleased to hear that a single city had repelled his hordes, and in fact was quite intrigued at the stories he was hearing of a single human rousing up all the others into a defensive fervor. Thus, he ordered for a particularly mean war boss known as Ugulhard to find the Imperial commander, to crump him good, and then to sweep through the hive, securing their victory once and for all. This boss was the leader of the Snakebites, who had sworn themselves to Ghazghul, and was a truly terrifying giant of an orc. His gnarled skin had been hardened from a lifetime of savagery, now covered by densely reinforced squig leathers, barely containing his immense musculature. Though rather primitive by orc standards, he had replaced one of his arms with a gigantic power claw, a tool which he had previously used to cleave open an Imperial guard tank with the same ease as a child peeling a ripe orange. With the boss at their head, the snakebites charged into Hades' hive, barreling through the outer defenses until they finally encountered a sight most curious. From the Imperial lines, a single human had leapt forth, seemingly intent on leading a countercharge against the Green Tide. Seeing this as an opportunity to have some fun, Ugulhard threw down his gun and sprinted directly towards the brazen human, not quite realizing that this was, in fact, Commissar Yarrick himself. The two quickly engaged themselves in a duel, where, understandably, the orc boss was able to leverage his immense strength to repeatedly wound Yarrick, until, with a great snap of his power claw, Ugulhard was able to sever the right arm of the battered Commissar. Letting out a truly mean laugh, the orc looked down, knelt beside the dying man, and through his toothy grin, told him that Armageddon is now green. Yarrick, though now missing an arm, still retained his truly indomitable spirit, and so, with great effort, he rolled outwards, extending his chainsword to the heavens, violently severing Ugulhard's rather shocked head from his body, which was now most assuredly rather dead. The boss slumped to the ground, at which point Yarrick chopped off his power claw and held it up for all to see. The snake bites, bearing witness to their beheaded boss, and of the bloody Commissar triumphantly standing over his corpse, fled in abject terror, leaving Hades' hive with a much-needed opportunity to breathe. The Commissar, quickly transported into a medical bay, elected to replace his lost arm with the orc's own power claw, a weapon which would soon become symbolic of his utter defiance against the green-skinned menace. Ghazghul, on hearing of the failure of the snakebites and of the rise of this lowly Imperial, decided that enough was enough and that it was time for him to lead the fight himself and put an end to the siege of Hades' hive. He brought every boy at his disposal to the city, directing them on complex and quite impressive strategic maneuvers, attacking the Imperials from every angle and at every weak point. At any given time, he was ordering for the Bad Moons to enact huge siege operations at the main gates, while simultaneously ordering for Death Skull commandos to infiltrate through the Undercity, to blow holes in the walls, which would then be stormed by the charging tides of the Goths. Yet none of these plans seemed to work. His every strategy was countered by Commissar Yarrick, and yet the old Imperial was similarly struggling to gain the upper hand over his orky equal. In due time, it seemed as though Hades' hive had turned itself from a siege into a game, with both Yarrick and Ghazghul caring more for the pride of gaining the upper hand over the other. Quite strangely, as the siege dragged on, and as thousands more of their troops died with each passing hour, the two commanders appeared to be taking quite an interest in each other. Yarrick, though disgusted at the alien menace, was forced to acknowledge that the warlord, though still an orc, was somewhat proficient in the art of military strategy, defying many of his expectations of dealing with their kind. Ghazghul, meanwhile, was rather furious at the Commissar, and yet he was enjoying the challenge of fighting against a foe who was quickly proving himself as being his equal. All orcs love to fight, and the great Yarrick was putting up such a defense that Ghaz couldn't help but revel in the chaos of their stalemate. With that said, the conquest of this world was pivotal in his prophetic mission. And so Ghazghul ordered for a portion of his forces to break away from the main horde and to sweep out across Armageddon, all but sealing their victory for Gork and Mork. With Hades' hive surrounded, the orcs pushed out from their captured strongholds, heading directly towards the final remaining city of the continent, Hive Acheron. Spared from the horrors of the First War, this hive had never been forced to defend itself from carnage. Yet now, its citizens could look out from the tallest of spires and spy the rapidly approaching convoys, kicking up so much dust and smoke that they truly took on the image of a deadly tsunami. The orcs, hardened by their campaign across the planet, were well familiar with the tactics of the Imperials by now, and so, with very little effort, they crashed into the defenses of the lower hive, overrunning the scattered guardsmen, who could do little but retreat deeper into the heart of the city. As they began with their siege, it truly seemed as though all hope was lost. Yet in that moment, just as they were about to break through to the inner gates, something truly miraculous occurred. The defenders of Acheron, looking out across the landscape, had at one moment seen an unending horde of greenskins, yet now they simply saw smoke and fire. None had expected it, but it was then that the Imperials finally received their reinforcements in the form of the Blood Angels, led by none other than of their venerable chapter master, Dante. The ancient commander had ordered for their Thunderhawks and other aircraft to perform a mass bombing run in order to clear out a large enough space for the Marines to deploy their drop pods and to liberate the besieged citizens of Hive Acheron. Dante had heard the calls for aid previously sent by Commissar Yarrick at the onset of the war, and had only just managed to complete his journey to relieve the battered defenders of their impossible task. Quickly setting up a defensive blockade, the Blood Angels sent their tactical squads to clear out the crumbling hive and to take command over the surviving members of the Steel Legion, who were happy to assist the Marines in reclaiming control over their world. They were soon to be further bolstered by the armies of the Ultramarines and Salamanders, each led by their own chapter masters, though the ultimate mantle of command was rested upon the head of Dante. Surprisingly, upon hearing of all this upheaval, the outcasted Hermann von Straub sent out a vox call to the Imperial survivors of Armageddon, ordering them to belay the command of the Blood Angels, as he still believed himself to be the overlord of the military forces of his world. In response, Dante put out a warrant for his arrest, summarily convicting him of his crimes against the Imperium, though at this point, we must remember that he was still safe in his bunker, deep below the orc-infested hive of Tartarus, and so justice would have to wait for a short while longer. Nevertheless, fortune was to favor the bold, as the combined armies wasted no time in sweeping out from Hive Acheron, traveling through the no man's land of the Ash Wastes, specifically in the goal of liberating the industrial zones of Tartarus. The battle was swift, with the orcs being ill-prepared to fend off the unexpected counterattack, but with Tartarus now back in the hands of the Imperials, they could resume its production of small arms and tanks, further bolstering the growing armies of mankind. Some scholars have speculated that if Ghazghul reacted quickly enough, that he could have thwarted the Astartes before they reached Tartarus, yet at this point, he was still entirely obsessed with claiming his prize of Hades. The siege was still ongoing, but it was now so protracted that the defenders had used up almost the entirety of their rations and supplies, meaning that, despite their indomitable resolve, that their defeat was all but inevitable. Seeing that the hive was doomed, Yarik was now forced to make a decision most hard. He ordered for their aircraft to begin evacuating the remaining guardsmen, no longer willing to sacrifice them in a battle which had shifted from one of heroic defiance to one of inevitable defeat. He, however, would remain with those who shared his zealous hatred for the Greenskins, and of those who could not be persuaded to abandon the Commissar who had stood by them, even during their darkest of hours. With the walls no longer manned, the Orcs launched one final attack, breaking through into Hades' hive to slaughter any who dared to remain against them. Yarik himself suffered a mortal wound from the onslaught, but such was his defiance that he simply refused to die this day. Ghazghul, however, was not provided with an opportunity to revel in his victory, as the forces of the Blood Angels and of the Steel Legion had arrived at the Hive of Hades. The warlord at this point sent a mass of his orcs to reclaim the Hive of Tartarus, which would provide him with the chance to regroup his forces before charging back up to devastate the Marines, who would still be locked in combat at Hades. Unfortunately, however, this strategy was destined to be unsuccessful. Commander Dante had his own plan, which involved the deployment of his remaining Blood Angels down from orbit to blunt the attack on Tartarus and to move up to purge the Orcs from Armageddon Secundus. Though outnumbered, the Marines valiantly found victory within the industrial zones, massacring any who were foolish enough to try and fight with the Emperor's angels. The Astartes then followed the fleeing Greenskins, moving back up towards the bulk of the Orc horde, which quickly found itself to be entirely surrounded by the retributive Imperials. During this battle, around half of Ghazghul's entire army was slain, with the survivors being pushed back through the equatorial jungle, though even here they were all to be put to the sword and killed to the last. But with their defeat, it seemed as though the Second War for Armageddon had come to its end, with the Imperial armies once again seizing victory from the jaws of defeat. In the following weeks, the Imperials swept out across Armageddon, purging the battered wastelands from the vestigial survivors of the main Orc band who had come to infest near every corner of the world. Many of the Hive cities had been brought to ruin. But just as it had been in the wake of the First War, the Imperials knew that they could rebuild and restore that which was lost. As it became clear that the war had been won, Commander Dante ordered for a group of Marines to descend into the newly liberated ruins of Hive Tartarus and to locate the secretive bunker of Hermann von Straub. With their bolters at the ready, the warriors broke through the thick walls of his subterranean compound, but rather unfortunately, they found his bunker to be mysteriously empty. None were able to verify as to his whereabouts, but some would go on to speculate that he had managed to evade a previous attempt at his arrest by stealing an Imperial landspeeder before racing off into the uncharted wilds where he would be safe from the ever-present threat of justice. Over the following years, it was noted that an ever-increasing Orc presence was growing within the equatorial jungle, and at times the feral Greenskins would emerge to harry Imperial citizens before being pushed back into their oppressive tangle. Members of the Death Watch would go on to report that it is almost impossible to entirely purge a world of the spores which are known to grow into juvenile orcs, and that unless the jungle itself was put to the torch, that the feral tribes would persist as an indefinite and violent feature. As an interesting point, though we ourselves know that this was the Second War for Armageddon, the wider galaxy was to falsely believe that this was in fact the first invasion of the doomed world. The Inquisition, being so fearful of chaos, had almost entirely censored the events which surrounded the return of Angron all those years ago. And so, in many imperial texts, this invasion of the Orcs will be listed as the First War. Commissar Sebastian Yarrick, though pushed to the brink of death during the final siege of Hades Hive, was rescued and taken to a medical facility to recover, where his life was saved once again. The Lords of the Imperium recognized his valiant efforts and named him as the Savior of Armageddon, understanding that without his involvement, that the world would have surely fallen to the Orcs. Gazgul, the prophet of Gork and Mork, was supposedly killed during the fighting, although none were able to present the Imperial Lords with a body to ratify their claims. In truth, he had survived this conflict. And though he had been foiled by the tactical brilliance of Commissar Yarrick, he was ill-deterred from plotting his return and from forming a final war to claim his prize of Armageddon. But with this, my dearest friends, we have come to the end. Thank you all for listening to this story on the Second War for Armageddon. But know that we will soon return for the climactic episode in our trilogy, where we will cover the ongoing Third War for this world of death. In any case, however, I will now close this chapter, and as I go, I will wish you all with a very warm goodbye.